Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and I'm here to help you become the very best version of yourself. Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. Today I'm joined by a good friend and client of mine, Lenny Redrose. Lenny is a T4 paraplegic. He is qualified for the Invictus Games, which was meant to be this year, 2020, but has been pushed back to 2021. He has a very inspiring story. He's a very positive guy. He's been through a lot of lows and through a lot of highs himself. And I think his story is something that everybody needs to hear and will benefit from. And I know you guys will take a lot of value from today's chat. I really enjoyed the chat with Lenny, so I know you will as well. So if you do, please do take a screenshot of today's show and post it up on your Instagram story for me. And let's get stuck into this chat with Lenny.
Should I put a t-shirt on? Do I look too hectic?
I'm going to leave that in there too. Lenny, welcome to the
Lenny Redrose.
He's always interrupting me. Lenny, welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast, mate.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you on, bro. We've been talking about it for a while, so it's good to get you on. And I reckon the audience will get a heap of value out of our chat today, man. And as you just touched on just then, you asked me what we're going to talk about, and I have no idea yet, but I'm sure we're going to get into some good stuff. So firstly, how are you?
I'm doing really well, man. Doing really well. This ISO has allowed me to get in touch with myself a bit more and train with myself a bit more. I spend a lot more time on my own, which has been a good thing. As I'm always, I'm still busy as hell, but you know, I mean, I'm doing more about me now, which is good.
That's good, bro. So obviously, I know a lot about your story, and those that follow me on social media probably know a bit about you as well, just seeing the stuff that I post of us training and everything. But for the listener that has no idea who you are right now, I'd love for you to kind of give us a rundown on a bit about yourself, how you have got to where you are today, and a bit about your story so far.
So I refer to myself as Lenny Redrose.
And everybody, you can turn your speakers down now if you want, or you can take your headphones out if they're still working.
Well, this sign language. So I'm 35. I'm a T4 paraplegic. I don't talk about how it happened as it's in court at the moment. But I walked into surgery and I come out in a chair like 5 months later. Prior to that, I was I made the Victorian Shoe Sport for soccer. I had a full scholarship at the age of 15. Which kicked off really well, and then went and played the Premier League, did the National Youth. When I turned about 18, 19, I started hitting the drugs, and I fucked up my career in that regard, where I was just partying and I wasn't dedicating myself to the actual sport and, you know, being fit and healthy and doing the right thing. From there, I become a full-blown ice addict. And I struggled with ice for about 10 years. I joined the Australian Army full-time when I was 26. I served for 4 years. I was on two operations, one being the Queensland flood assist, and the other was the natural disaster that happened out in the Philippines in Hawaii when they had the cyclone. I was out there for a little while, you know, no hot water, no hot showers, no hot food, no toilets. So it's, you know, you're living on a stretcher, mozzie nets. It's, you know, I mean, it's hard yakka, which was actually really good. Like I mean, there's no laundry, so you're actually washing your clothes in a bucket, you know what I mean, with some soap, old school, like my mum back in the 20s. A lot of building, the character building in those type of events. I discharged from the army, so I was clean. And then I discharged from the army and once again, I just became a full-blown ice addict. I was living in Brisbane at the time, and then I moved to Melbourne and just continued on my merry ways of just being an addict. I was a functioning addict where I could use and work, which is probably the worst type of addict because you can kind of get away with a lot.
So you said just to slow down for a second there. So about 10 years you reckon you were using?
Yeah, 10 years, man. It's been this September will be.
Sorry, and for that time that you were using, that year stopped soccer altogether and
man, at the age of probably 22, 23, I reckon I played my last games. Like I didn't do a pre-season. I went to try and play a game and I fell over my own feet and I just walked off the pitch and I was like, I'm not doing this. I've gone from being, you know what I mean, a really, really, really good player like within the Australian community, and then it just delved away with just, I looked like I was making a mockery of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So you finished serving and then came back and then got back on it again and came back into same habits.
Same habits, man. I was just, like I said, I was a function addict, so I was able to work with it. From there, I started getting back pains in about, when was it? 2016, January, February, I started getting back pains. And me being stubborn, I didn't go to the doctor. I just would go to naturopath and all those sort of little things and just, you know, I mean, just try to override and just put a band-aid on the situation. And they ended up finding a tumor in my spine. And from the tumor, went into surgery. Didn't go according to plan. Like I said, I don't really talk about that part because I'm in court at the moment. I don't want to jeopardize anything I say in regards to that matter. So I was in ICU, still using drugs. I was in rehab, still using
post
drugs.
So just to clear it up for those that are listening. Post-surgery, you were paraplegic.
Yeah, post-surgery, I woke up and 3/4 of my body wasn't functioning how it was 11 hours before that. From that, I lost bowel, bladder, sexual function, chronic neuropathic pain, no function through my legs. I have spasms to the point of, like, I can't even talk when it happens. I wear a nappy, I pee in bowel accidents. It's, you know, my life went from, wasn't so merry, but, you know, I mean, having those, that easy,
fully functional,
easy, just the fully functional things that I never thought about, things like, you know, that we take for granted, which is fair enough. You know, I mean, you never realize what's going to happen, you know, the moment later or the day after. So, but yeah, for me, it's been a bit of a, how can I say, I'm kind of, yeah, I've taken a positive out of it, which is, you know, I mean, I just see positive in what's happened to me, what's happened in my situation, and I'm going to take it that way all the way. I'm not going to allow it to beat me, and I don't think I have. Of, you know, you know me, Danny. I've really come out positive in how I've taken things.
That's awesome, mate. So, yeah, I mean, like one of the main things, and this, you know, I've said this to you before, and I say this to anyone that I talk to in regards to, you know, you and our training and everything. I mean, one of the, like, the most inspiring things I've found, like, working with you is just your attitude. I mean, you know, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, you talk to anybody on the street or anyone that you know, and everybody listening right now, if you know yourself, you wake up someday and something doesn't go your way and you crack your shits and you worry about, you know, you think poor me and just your attitude shocking for the whole day. And then, you know, you see or hear something that kind of puts things into perspective, and then you realize that you are probably just, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, absolutely no reason. So one thing that I absolutely love about you, Lenny, is how positive you are, man. And it's really inspiring and your approach to life and training and everything, which is awesome. And what you've managed to do since the operation, which we'll touch on soon in the episode. But just to go back again, so you finished up in surgery in ICU for how long were you there for?
I was in ICU for about 4 weeks.
Okay.
4 weeks of... yeah, of just the unknown of where am I going to go? What rehab am I doing? It was just the, you know, what's actually happened to me. It was all a big, like I said, I don't want to go into that too much.
So
from there, like, it's like, I still haven't, you know, I still haven't respected what's actually happened to me. Like I said, I'm still using drugs in ICU. Like, I went in as an addict, and obviously I came out as an addict. But I wasn't allowing up here to actually process what's happening.
Yeah.
Masking it. I mean, just running away from the situation. So from there, went into rehab at Caulfield and just learnt the most basicest attributes of being a, you know, person with spinal cord injury. Just learning how to transfer, learning how to balance, how to sit upright, how to push a wheelchair, how to navigate if there's a crack, or, you know, doing a little bunny hop to get down a step. Just all the little early onset tasks that, you know, you need in the community once you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and so you're out of ICU, you're into rehab, and then when did you leave? How long after surgery did you leave, like, rehab and just kind of go back home, like, go back to normal?
Yeah, 4 months. I was in rehab for about 4 months. The place I was living in actually had a step, so I had to move out of there.
Okay.
And mum and dad live in a commission flat that's, like, tiny. So it was, there was no area for me to have a shower. So we literally got tarp I've actually got tarp in the bathroom, and I was just like doing bird baths naked with my mum. literally bird with buckets.
Yeah.
Literally village specs. It was pretty funny actually.
So you eventually went back home, moved into your own place and finished up those bird baths and started to get your work your way back into, you know, the new normal and try and navigate your way back to what's next. So so how soon, you know, you and I started working together, I think it was
about a year ago.
I think it was at the very start.
Midway through
2019, and you'd been doing a bit of training up until that point. But I guess, what did you find that was the hardest? Like, what was the hardest aspect of, I guess, being in a chair, physically and mentally? Like, once you were back into trying to live normal life again.
Like I was saying earlier, I deal with a lot of chronic neuropathic pain. So that, for people who don't know, it's an itchy feeling. That's constantly, it's not burning as in temperature burning, but it feels like it's burning me. So like just a little bit of, like the air conditioner in the car, I can't have it on because it feels like having certain types of clothing, it hurts. So sitting down for me is the most painful thing. That's what I got to do every single day. So wherever my body has got contact below my injury, it feels like it's on fire.
Right.
Then bowel, bladder, you know, not knowing, like I'll have a coffee. And then, you know, because as it's a diuretic, you know, I automatically wee myself because my bladder was, I had a really small bladder, it was really hyperactive. And then, you know, you eat something that's a little bit too oily and then I end up having a bowel accident. So for the first probably 2 years, at least a year and a bit more, I was just, you know, constantly having accidents, always weeing myself, dealing with the chronic neuropathic pain. From that, sexual function as well, like, you know, I've lost all function of sensation there. Mm-hmm. Which is a massive thing as well, you know, so that hindered obviously my own personal confidence as well of how am I going to do that in the future? You know, I mean, how do you explain that to someone?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all those physically,
I remember, you know, even when we started training together, like in terms of strength, like when we're doing certain exercises, your strength was there, but in terms of, you know, even like transitioning from, you know, I remember the first time we did a bench press, we got out of the chair onto the bench or onto the floor. And getting back in the chair was like a huge issue. Whereas now, like the ease of like you getting in and out of the chair, like even in 12 months, or even before that, like less than 12 months, it's just improved significantly. So in terms of health and fitness, and I want to touch on like the sporting side of things soon, but just in general, like strength, like with the work that we do together and the work that you do on your own in terms to build your own strength and endurance and everything, what impact does that have on your day-to-day life and how much easier does that kind of make things for you?
Yeah, so let's just, the way I put it was like before I was, before the training aspect, I would do things messy. It wasn't, things weren't, I had no finesse. Where now with my training component, especially with you, like my physique has improved, my strength, I do things with ease, with finesse. Like, you know, like I can do things like really sexy now when I transfer from the floor or when, I make it look really good.
It looks good
for me. definitely that side of things, you know, my endurance, pushing a wheelchair now, I play a few sports, and in those sports, I'm able to contest with people who have got full function. Like I'm not as, you know, not having core and, you know, most of my back working, there's a lot there that is missing muscle-wise, strength-wise. Mm. But being able to have, you know, my upper body, what I do have working, you know, at a level where I'm competing with people who have a lot of function, has definitely improved everything in my life, 100%. Because up here in my brain, I know I'm competitive now. I know I'm strong. I know I'm healthy. Yeah. And that's another thing that's kept me away from, you know what I mean? Like I was saying earlier, it's been nearly 2 years that I won't, and I haven't had any ice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's purely based with health and fitness. Like, it's been sport. It's what it's done for me. It's unbelievable.
It's incredible, man. And something that you just touched on, you know, competing against others that probably have full ability, or even those that are paraplegic that have different levels of the injury. Yep. Like, that's something that I've been lucky enough to work with a few people, or a handful of people now that have that are paraplegics, and it just varies, like even from person to person, like the level of the injury, like in terms of stability, 100%. In terms of how easy it is to get from the chair to the bench, or how easy it is to do an exercise where there is balance involved and stuff like that. And I mean, that's probably something that I didn't really consider much until, like, even working with you, like when we set up to do a single arm, I think there'd be times where I'd be like, fucking, I'd forget to pass you the thing, and or like you'd still be holding it, you'd be waiting for me to take it off you. Well, you just don't think about stuff like that. But you mentioned your sporting achievements earlier with soccer, and obviously you're very competitive guy, and that's something that doesn't change. So do you want to tell the listeners a bit about what you're doing now, and I guess some of the achievements that you've had over the past couple of years, and I guess what's to come as well? Because I mean, like, the best is yet to come, and obviously that's what we're working towards, and a few big achievements recently. So yeah, do you want to fill us in with that?
Yeah, so my mentor Marcus, he's in a wheelchair himself. So he was the wheelchair AFL started up a couple of years back.
Yep.
And he said to me, "Hey mate, do you want to come and try out for the sport?" And I said that he'd love to. And I was pretty shit, to be honest. And fast forward, for the next trials for the year after, I think I finished in a wheelchair beat testing. I think I was in the top 10 out of people that are walking, out of everybody. I think there was like maybe 60, 70 people there, and I was in the top 10 as a paraplegic competing against like four able-bodied people. So from that, that really started kicking things off. Mm. I've completed four Spartan races since the chair has happened. I've made the Invictus Games for the Australian team.
Just quickly, with the Spartan races, that's for those that are listening, that's like the full Spartan race. That's not like a wheelchair Spartan
race. Not adaptive,
that's the Spartan race. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a 2.5, 2 hour, 45 minute going through creeks, climbing walls, going on single trails, monoing through areas. Like, I've got a full team with me as well that help me get over walls and all the obstacles, really. So it's brutal. Like, we've broken wheelchairs because that's how tough the terrain is. Like, there's not a muck around. It's probably one of the best things I've actually ever been able to do. Like, it's in the camaraderie that you see with other. Yeah, people giving us the clap, inspires me.
Yeah.
From what it's just, it really goes both ways. It's sick.
That's
good. So from there we've made the Invictus Games is being a veteran. So it's for soldiers past and present that are injured. So the Wounded Warriors, I call them. So I made the Australian side for that. For rugby, basketball, hand soccer, and indoor rowing.
It's unreal.
Which is, it's pretty cool, man. Like, it's pretty cool. I was pretty iffy when I first tried out last year.
Yeah. And what's the do you want to just fill everyone in with what the process for that is? I mean, like, it's not just, they just handpick people just randomly. Like, there's a full, it's a very lengthy process and pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was. I think it was about 180 athletes that tried out for, and there's only 32 that get chosen. Yeah. And it's 16, or whatever it is. I can't remember. So it's half and half. So half serving and half not serving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot of spots to. But multiple sports is something. So they're not going to bring someone that's really good at something and then no good at anything else. So, and it's. Even like being there, being around other people with, like, I'm in a wheelchair, so you see my disability, but there are people there with post-traumatic stress, people that are amputees, like things that you, like, obviously someone that's got an amputee, you can see that, but there's a lot of other disabilities that you don't see, which don't really see, opened my eyes. It really opened like my scope to things. But like I said, you see me, not a problem, you see I'm in a wheelchair, cool. But someone that's walking, they might have something else wrong with them, you don't know.
Mm.
And so then I learned there, then and there, purely then and there is, you need to be a little bit more mindful that, that disability isn't just what you can see. Now, mental health is a big one too.
100%. And so I want to come back to the mental health side of things in a minute, but with the Invictus game, so obviously that was meant to be this year.
So it's been postponed till next year, thanks to my Sharona. But the tryout phase for that was was pretty cool. Like, it's all interstate camps, and you get looked after as a professional, which is it really peps you up, and you're like, I actually want to do better, and that's what happened to me. Like, I went there a little bit scared, facing my fears, and I was just like, oh, I'm gonna like going to be shit? Like, am I going to be good? What's going to happen? And literally, that's how I felt. Like, I wasn't, you know what I mean, I was struggling. And then once I got back from the first camp, when we hooked up, I was like, you know what, this is on. Like, and I trained my absolute butt off, you know, 5-6 days a week.
Yeah.
And it's you know, and then when I went back for the other camps, it showed that I put the hard yards in, and you know, and that there makes me a lot proud of what I'm achieving, that I'm not just hoping for things to happen. I'm taking things in my stride.
Making it happen,
yeah. Opening those doors.
Yeah,
that's
really
awesome.
Those toes. That's awesome, bro. So touching on the mental health side of things, obviously huge changes in your life. I feel as though, obviously, I don't know firsthand, but I feel as though it'd just be like an emotional roller coaster. There'd be days where you feel like you're on top of the world, things are going really well, and yeah, you're kicking goals and all that type of stuff. And then there's other days where it just doesn't feel as good. So, do you have any, like, what's the tools in your toolkit that you kind of use to keep yourself kind of present and bring yourself back when there are those days that we feel like things are just fucking not going how you'd like them to go?
Fact that I've become, you know what I mean, like more clear in my mind because I'm not using drugs.
Yep.
Has given me perspective where I never kind of had perspective. And at the time of my surgery, I was dating a girl. We were together for 4 years by the end of it. And she suffered with anxiety and depression, like pretty bad, like really, really bad.
Yep.
And that taught me to really understand and accept anxiety and depression, because I've never really faced it. And then, you know, we're living together, and you know, things got pretty tough for her, pretty tough for us. So I from there, like I was like, I would, and I don't like saying this, but I'm just gonna say, because it's just how I saw things. Like I would actually rather be in my position than her position. Like, okay. I was able to get up and, you know, and do my daily routine, where, you know, she would struggle. So that really gave me empathy and understood that, you know, that life is
how debilitating it can be with a mental
health. Yeah, life is good. You know what I mean? Like, I've got my hands, I've got my sight, I've got my brain, like everything's, like, for me, I'm on fire. You're not stopping me. You know what I mean? I'm lucky, I'm very stubborn. I grew up very stubborn. Noah's never kind of, you know, I got in trouble a lot, but Noah's never, like, in my vocab. I wouldn't, you know what I mean? If you said no to me, I'm going to still do it. I'm going to achieve. So that there really gave me the tools to, when I have a bowel accident, I'm completely, I'm out of my depth. I can't, you know what I mean? I need someone to help me. And that's what it really does my head in. And there's been many times where I've shat myself and I started crying. It was like, fuck, I don't want to rely on anyone, Danny. You know what I mean? That's not how I am. But that's when I need to.
Yeah.
So I think about, like, it's sunny outside. I was just outside before, sitting in the sun, and I was just chilling out. You know what I mean? Like, well, life's good. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I'm healthy, I'm fit, my mind's working. It's, you know, like you said, but for me, at my lowest, then when I shit myself. Nothing, if anyone shits themselves, they're probably going to be pretty upset.
I reckon I would be too. Well, here's a quick question for you. Your personality and stuff, I mean, is, you know, we've talked about it before, like, your personality is probably not so much the type that dwells too much on stuff anyway, but like, when you were fully able-bodied and you were using drugs early on in that kind of, I guess, you're an addict, was there times there where you were in horrible headspace, and like, did you suffer from anxiety and depression and stuff there, or was it just like a big blur because you were constantly using, or like,
look, there have been times where I haven't paid my electricity and I don't have any power. Like, I'm sitting in the dark, and I'm, you know what I mean, I was in an apartment and I was getting power from a hallway, from an extension cable to a lamp. Like, I've been in some pretty fucked up places with drugs. I think, look, that's probably another testament to probably why I can hold my head up high. Like, I got through all that shit, and I'm happy. Mm. I'm happy. I don't look at that. Like, I used to be so ashamed of my history about where I've been. And it's like, now you're like, oh, that's a stepping stone for me. That's a proud moment. Like, I've been through hell and back, and I've gone through hell again, and I'm back again. I mean, like,
yeah.
it's, you know, I mean, cold turkey four times. you know, and I finally, you know, at the most vulnerable period of my life, you know, I was able to cut the habit, which is weird.
That's awesome, man. So you touched, I think you briefly mentioned it before about, you know, getting motivation from others that are in similar positions to you and seeing them achieve results and stuff. So, you know, you think about a lot of people listening at the moment, you know, maybe they love football and someone that they look up to is their favorite footballer or whatever. So like who and what do you look for towards now, for motivation and for inspiration to continue smashing your own goals? Like, do you watch certain people, listen to certain people and take motivation from them, or what's that look like?
There's two people that have really pushed me. So Marcus, who's my mentor. Yep. So he's just straight down the line. There's he's just like, hey, you're fucking up. Hey, you're doing good. And so in the early phases, I spoke with him heaps.
Mm-hmm.
And he's enabled me to understand that it is possible. Like, he's a freak. Like, when we're playing wheelchair AFL, he's a freak. And he's a T6. So he's just a little bit lower than me, but, you know, same ability, let's say.
What are you, T? He's a freak. T4.
T4. So, yeah, just under the chest. So I can just feel my nipples and just below my chest I can feel.
Yeah.
Feels good. And then... in the early phase he was my go-to, and then the next guy is Matt Brumby. Absolute beast. Like, he's actually my idol. Like, whenever he rings me, I answer the phone, hey idol, and he laughs his head off. But there's a Ironman called Kona in Hawaii, and he's actually a world champion. And when you meet the bloke, he's just I'm just another bloke. Like, you don't, and it's like, I get a lot of, I see his attitude, how he is, and there's not a no. It's just get it done. He buzzed me and he's like, hey mate, can we train together? I was like, man, I'd love to. And then I was so wrapped. I was like, fuck, this guy raised me to train. You know what I mean? This guy's a world champion.
Yeah.
Them two definitely have been, you as well. I've got to admit, yeah.
I'll slip you that. I'll send you the $50 after this. Thanks for that. That's awesome, man. Well, look, bro, I appreciate you coming on the show. I mean, we could talk for hours, and I'd love to do another one, particularly after the Invictus Games.
Yeah,
but
let's do that.
What is, just to wrap things up, what is the next kind of, it's a bit unknown, but what does the next kind of 6 to 12 months look like for you in terms of the lead up to the Invictus Games, and what's your, approach with food and training, like, just to give everyone an idea of how that looks?
Yeah, so look, I eat super clean. I don't really get too many carbs. And obviously, if I've had a big day working out, whatnot, then I'll get some sweet potato and whatnot. But I eat super clean. Like, as a para, you got a thing called a para belly, which is, you know, really hard to lose. So there was probably a good year and a half of eating clean to be able to, you know, lose what I think I was weighing about 87, and I'm about 74 now. So, you know, I mean, I've lost a lot through my gut, which is fantastic. That gives me confidence on how I present myself.
Yeah.
So that, like, food wise is unbelievable. I eat clean. I actually enjoy eating clean. There's no rubbish that I put in my diet here and there, maybe Nutella Tiddabear biscuit, but
almond croissant a few weeks ago, but it's all right.
Oh, but hang on. That's your fault, not mine. You can't dangle things like that in front of me. I had to try it out, you know, but make sure there was good one.
Polite.
Training-wise, Invictus Games. So that's being postponed to next year, as I was saying before. So that's going to be in Holland. We've got a couple cycle camps and training camps coming up towards the end of the year if my Sharona can bugger away. So that's something that obviously is to look forward to. Hopefully the gyms are like, can open up. We can get back into working out instead of, like, I think at the moment we're really just doing maintenance just to make sure that we're not losing too much.
Yeah.
So that'll be excellent. I'm on the hand cycle, you know what I mean, once a week doing, you know, 30, 40, 50K rides.
Yeah.
To make sure, you know, that component of my fitness is alive. You know, do 8-10K pushes every second day as well. So
it's awesome.
Fit is, yeah, it's just part of the day now. It's really good.
Fantastic, man. Well, look, bro, I appreciate you coming on the show. And like I said, you're a huge inspiration. And I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing what you can achieve at the Invictus Games. And the next 6 to 12 months is going to be exciting. So for everybody that is tuned in today's show, I mean, you can follow along with Lenny's journey through his social media accounts, which I'll have linked in the show notes below. And if you've taken some value or just enjoyed the chat today, then please do take a screenshot and post it up on Instagram story for me. Tag myself, tag Lenny. He wants more followers, so go and give him a follow. And yes, Lenny, you can go.
One thing. So I've started this new craze. It's called an elbow drop. So I'm gonna pop one now. Boom.
Yeah. Nice.
So when you see my videos, always in the beginning, I'll pop an elbow, and that's just something that I started a little while ago. Just being a dickhead, really, and it's just something that. So yeah, just have a bit of a laugh. We Danny and I have done a few funny ones, so it's something that just a bit of humour to the training session.
Brother, thanks for coming on the show, man. I appreciate it a lot.
Edge. Thanks, man.
Enjoy the rest of the day, mate. Guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you in the next episode.